And suddenly he got what was wrong. So I was waiting to see whether the guy will respond. How can he not respond when the Lord said it will go? I don't know whether you're getting my point. The word of God is not a subject of discussion. It's something you believe so it can become real in your life. If the Lord said the key is on the table, you know what you do? You get there, say the key is on this table. I don't know why I can't see it. Call your friend who's an ophthalmologist. Please, is there anything you can tell me on the phone why I'm not seeing clearly? Because the Lord said the key is on this table. You know what the Lord expects you to do? You stay there till you find it. You don't come back and tell him the key is not there. You look, you don't see. You feel, you don't see. You roll on the table. And finally, you carry the whole table and come and say, Lord, the key is on this table. But as we're going back and say, listen, Jesus said something. That's what he meant when he said, if only you can believe, nothing will be impossible to whoever believes. All the problems of life is the degree of unbelief that we have. People are saying that it's not God's will to heal. It is always his will. The problem is unbelief. Nobody saying you are going to hellfire, but you don't believe. When I say we believe more than you, but you don't believe. Maybe we are all unbelievers, but there's lack of faith. Otherwise, God has something that he always does if we believe. Jesus said, nothing will be impossible to whoever believes. That man said he learned a lesson that day. And believe me, I want to share a revelation with you that I understood today. To let you just get how to relate with God. Moses was speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 2, or well, any part of Deuteronomy. Either chapter 2 or chapter 3. I don't want to open it now because of time. But he said to the people, he said, you did not see, he said, how many nations on this earth have ever had an experience like that? They see God talk to them and they heard his voice. He appeared on a mountain. The mountain was smoking and you heard his voice. He said, have you ever seen a nation like that? He said, no, you are a special people. He said, but remember, you did not see any form. You did not see any image. It did not appear like anything. He said, for that reason, don't make any image of him so you can worship it. You know, as soon as I read it, you know, something struck me. You know what I realized? He said, you only heard the voice. You didn't see any form. You did not see any image. He said, so that you go and make the image and see this is what it looks like and worship it. Then it struck me that what he was saying, what you heard was what? A voice. Therefore, he said, worship the voice. I don't know whether you got that. That anything he says, die for it. Anything he says, bow before it. Anything he says, he said, he didn't give you a form. You can't make an image and say, this is my God and bow. But you can say, this was what he said and bow to that word. When you go to work and you find that this is what the word of God says, said, guys, this is what I worship. You know, the thing about words is that there's no image of it. You can't put it and say, this is the word. No, it affected the sound, the airwaves, and that impacted your ears, and it registered in your spirit. That's the end of it. So the memory of that word says, worship it. Bow before it. If it says, you are an overcomer, wake up in the morning and say, I am an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. You are bowing before the expression, I'm an overcomer. Why? He said it. When you are behaving like a madman on the road, rejoicing in the midst of your troubles, they say, why are you behaving like this? I'm worshiping what he said. What did he said? In everything, give thanks. It is the will of God concerning you. No matter how stupid I look, I worship it. What was he saying? When he said to them, you can take the land. They are supposed to go and say, giants, we can take the land at the risk to their lives. That's what people do to things they worship. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, worship his word. That's why he does not ever understand it. When it's clear to you that he said this, and you do the opposite, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. Do you understand? It is deadly. It is. Like I said earlier, people take a time to go and learn to discipline an animal. What they call break a horse. They call it breaking of horses. Tame a lion. Tame a serpent. James said, it is more important you tame your tongue. So take courses if necessary in taming your tongue. Pray until you have the ability to speak only that which is in agreement with the word of God. Forget how you feel. See all this news media every day? Their job is to train you how to speak against the word of God. Today I was reading an analysis of what Ben Carson said on TV when he was interviewed yesterday or 2 days ago. And he opened his mouth, and for the first time, I heard an American, apart from, what is his name? Donald Trump. Apart from Donald Trump, I saw an American politician running for presidency who did not care what was popular. He just said what he believed and he didn't care what anybody thought. Now I'm going somewhere. Where he impressed me more than Donald Trump was that he was founding his own thoughts on faith. Do you understand? That I know people don't like to say this, but I will say it. It is the truth. And he uttered his words. Now that dawned on me, something I was thinking. That Jesus said, if you deny me before men, you understand my point? That is a real sin. I will have to deny you before my Father and his holy angels. You know what's happening in those countries? They make every good man deny God before men, and they call it political correctness. And that's why God refuses all of them. God said, listen, go there. Anything you know I say is true, utter it. Don't care. Go and read what he told Jeremiah. Don't care who is offended. But the world pressures you into, don't say it like that. Oh. Don't say it. Don't say it like that. People will be offended. What are they trying to do? They use media pressure, everything, to make you talk against the word of God. And listen, for any Christian, that will always be the beginning of his political demise. Because power comes from God. That's why I feel sorry for the current American president. I gave him a name, you all know, Jeroboam. Yeah, Jeroboam is anybody who God places in power. They use his own method to sustain himself in power. Why am I saying this? When it comes to this talk, Satan knows the power. So you know what he does? He pressures us through every method. Pressure, so somebody said, officially Nigeria is entering recession. I heard that one today, next quarter. I said, what is recession again? It's when your GDP reduces every quarter for 3 consecutive quarters. That is recession. I said, I continued normally. I just said, don't mind them. Why would GDP not reduce when fuel price, international price of crude has reduced in half in the last 1 year? It will go down. That's expected. It does not mean recession. Now, when they finish telling you, you will come and start preaching recession, recession, recession. If you believe it, be it unto you according to your faith. Once I heard it in my mind, I will still prosper. I have still prospered. He will still make all grace flow towards me. I will still have all sufficiency in all things. I will still abound to every good work. He will still cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. How I feel is irrelevant. It's how I talk that matters. Let's rise to our feet. That's the point I'm trying to make. Let's rise to our feet. I want us to talk with a disciplined tongue. I want us to talk with a disciplined tongue. First of all, let's start by thanking him. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have given me understanding. Say, Lord, I thank you because I understand your power. Say, Lord, I thank you. Now let's begin to declare, say in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me, in the name of Jesus. I can take the land. Say, God has an inheritance for me. And I can take my land. I can overcome giants. I can take the land. I want to understand this. David said like this, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall. Paul said, our sufficiency is of God. Are you getting my point? Here he was saying, Joshua was saying it, if the Lord is with us, their own defenses have left them. So let's begin to declare it. He said, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is with me. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Therefore, I can take my land. I'm an overcomer. In the name of Jesus. Say it, in all that I do, I prosper. Say it again, in all that I do, I prosper. Because grace is flowing towards me. Because favor is flowing towards me. Because God is with me. Say it again, because God is with me. You know what he said in Psalm 1? He said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me just really open to it so I quote it properly. This is very important. What I've been teaching today is power, how to tap into that power to take the land. It is the power of God we use, not ability to plan. It's not even ability to work. All those things are done because they are right. Are you getting my point? But the real thing that gives us victory in life is what? The power of God. It's called the grace of God. So Psalms, I like the way he said in Psalm 1. Let's just start with Psalm 1. I want us to just declare these words. He said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Let's start from verse 1. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am blessed. In the name of Jesus, I am blessed. I do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Like, I do not stand in the path of sinners. Nor do I sit in the seat of scoffers. My delight is in the word of God. And I'm meditating in it day and night. I will never speak against the word of God. I speak to my tongue. Speak the word of God alone. Never oppose him. Now, you are going to put a small curse on your tongue by yourself. That before you oppose God, silence. Yeah, that's the prayer. Say this tongue, you will not be able to speak. If what is going to come out of you will oppose the will of God. You are getting my point? You know what? That's what the angel did to... What's the name of that brother? Zachariah. Zachariah wanted to talk nonsense. Angel said... Quiet. Before you spoil something. This was what this man did the other day. The baby was not born. This one talked about the other day. He scattered the plan of God. The angel said, come on, be silent. But when the Bible recorded it, the Bible said that you will not be able to speak. I don't believe the angel was that nice about it. The angel tells him, my friend, shut up until the child is born. That's the, in quote, curse that you are placing on your own tongue with your own mouth. Because with it, you are saving your life. You say to your tongue right now, say in the name of Jesus, you will not be able to speak if what is going to come out of you will oppose God. Oh yeah. Begin to fight your tongue. Say, you will have the inability to utter anything if what you want to utter will not please God. Say to your tongue, you will never grumble. You will always find cause to give thanks. No matter the provocation, you will not declare that which is against God. No matter what you read, tongue, you must never speak against God. Say to your tongue, I remove from you the ability to speak against God. Either you agree with God or silence. Even if it is trivial, no matter how small it is, which is against God, in the name of Jesus, they call us. Let's declare it again. Say, I have a promised land.
I have a promised land.
I'm not a child of accident.
I'm not a child of accident.
God gave me life.
To take a land for him.
That land,
I will take.
I have the ability.
I have the enablement.
Not of myself.
Not from my certificate.
Not from my connections.
But because God is with me.
Because grace is with me.
Say it again.
He will make all grace abound towards me.
I will have all sufficiency in all things.
And I will abound to every good work.
Let's declare what he says. Say, poverty is not of God.
Therefore, I reject it.
Therefore, I rebuke it.
Therefore, I walk away from it.
In my heart,
I do not accept it.
I accept the word of God.
This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's the word we are confessing now.
This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
He was rich.
He was rich.
But for my sake,
he became poor.
He became poor.
That I
through his poverty,
might be made rich.
Let's say it again.
All grace abound towards me.
All grace abound towards
I have all sufficiency in all things.
I have all sufficiency in all
things. And I abound to every good work.
I do good works with my abundance.
You know, God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, don't ever forget, it is the Lord thy God that has given you the power to create wealth.
Say it in the name of Jesus.
I'm a creator.
In the name of Jesus.
I am not a taker.
I am a giver.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm a blessing to this generation.
When I am taking the land,
it is to give God glory.
When I'm taking the land,
it's to make the land more productive.
As I take my land,
I bring in productivity.
I have the power to create.
I am not covetous.
I am not of this world.
I am not laying up anything.
I understand the word of God
that my life does not consist in what I possess.
Say it in the name of Jesus.
My possessions
will never be a mark of my prosperity.
In the name of Jesus,
my prosperity
will never be determined by what I have.
Because I am a giver.
Before my God,
I will always be a giver.
I do not seek anything for myself.
I am only seeking things to do the will of God.
And I'm saying they will come to me.
I am saying I will do the will of God.
Say it in the name of Jesus.
I have the power.
I am not a grasshopper.
I can run through a troop.
I can leap over a wall.
I can overcome giants.
I can overcome difficulties.
I said something the other day. Listen, any land without giants is not likely to be your promised land. I hope you hear what I said. If that land doesn't have a giant, go and check it. It's not the promised land. It's not. Believe me, it is not. So if it's anybody looking for where things are easy, tell the fellow, you are not looking for your promised land. Because your promised land is dictated by God without checking whether there are giants there or there are no giants there. This is the interesting part. I read the Bible. I realized that, God, why didn't you just warn them there are giants? I don't know whether I get the point. I can almost hear the Spirit saying that, do I want people that are moving to a new house that the house is dirty? I don't know what I got to say. You have a new house. You finish building it. Will the architect come and say, we are sorry, sir. We want to let you know that when we finish the tiling, dust gathered on it. He won't tell you that. You know why? It's irrelevant. When you get there, you like the house. What do? You sweep away the dust. God expected them to sweep away the giants. It was not a relevant warning because it was not an important hindrance. Let me speak to those of us who are in this country. And if you're in any country and they are speaking negatively, this word applies to you. But I'm a Nigerian, I understand Nigeria. Don't believe all these lies that people are telling you that life is easier somewhere. We are speaking by faith all the time, amen? So I cannot say that my faith is not coloring what I'm saying, all right? My faith affects it. But beyond that, as a matter of fact, it is a lie. I'm speaking on a natural plane now. Do you understand what I'm going to say? But let's even talk spiritually. Anywhere God plants you, He has given you the energy to possess that land.
Amen.
There is something He wants you to do. God, look, difficulty is just part of this life. That's why God said it is Him that overcomes that reward. It's not whom the father was rich, gave birth to, didn't have any trouble, and he chopped very well. I'll give the crown of life. The only people that are called overcomers are those who saw trouble, saw challenges, and they overcame them. Oh God, based on everything we said today, this is the message I brought for today. That Christians to learn, and let me tell you something, it starts from small, small things. So, once I was one of my aunties, this was years ago. Well-to-do fellow, you know, comfortable middle-class business person, was eating. Said, this is not the kind of plate my mates are using to eat. The other said, I look. I don't know. That day, I can't remember whether I answered or I got angry and I walked away. But what I said in my heart, I don't know whether I uttered it. I said, it's not your fault, auntie. It's when somebody has eaten and they are full, they talk like this. That one I remember, I got up and I walked away from there. I was disgusted. So this is not the plate my mates are using to eat. Who are your mates? Many of them are on the street. They don't have a house. Yes, you are right. This is not the plate they are using. They have no plates. They are using cardboard. What I'm going to say, let it start from small things. Are you getting my point? The overcoming spirit starts with from small things. Not always behaving as if you're a victim in life. In fact, let me tell you, one of the evils you will speak against God is to say we masses. It's evil against God. We the poor masses. You. How can you wake up in the morning and look at Jesus and say, "Want and shake it?" That's what you are doing. You are insulting Him. He died for somebody, you are calling the person poor mass. So, but are you a poor mass?
Why?
No. There are statements you must never make. If you're a student, you are an overcomer. Give me an amen.
Amen.
No matter what you are in life, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
You are a winner.
Amen.
Are you getting my point? You are a winner.
Amen.
Say it again. Say, I am above alone.
I am above alone.
I am not beneath.
I am not beneath.
I'm above alone.
I am not beneath.
I am a giver.
I am a giver.
I am not a taker.
I am not a taker.
You must never be a taker. A giver can be a receiver, but a giver is never a taker. Are you getting my point? And what does it mean to be a giver? It means I have money, I dance to the altar and I drop it. Well, it's good. If you have money and you can dance and there's an altar, fine. But that's not what it means to be a giver. A giver is an attitude. Being a giver is little things. You work in an office, I'm not paid to do this one. You're not a giver. That's where I'm going. It's in little things. I'm not paid to do that one. So I refuse to do it. Why? I'm not paid to do it. If I was paid to do it, I would have done it. That's not a giver's attitude. A giver is an attitude. That's where we begin to win from. As believers, it is not when we are big. Some people are waiting till they are big before they can give. No. It is when even you don't have a dime. You have an attitude that wants to bless. That's why I told you, they can offer you a job and say, this job will pay you twice what you are making in your business. But your mind, you reason. What about the 4, 5, 10, 15 people I'm paying in my business? I don't know whether you caught that attitude. I know I can earn more if I took that job. But what about the people I am affecting? I tell them, say, thank you very much. I appreciate the offer. But I don't see myself as rich because I earn this 1 million naira every month. I see myself as rich because my business is able to pay out this 1 million naira to people every month. At the end of the month, I don't have that much remaining. But God will bless us. We will grow. But I will not be able to close this business down. No, I can't. I'm having to lay off 10 people. No, forget it. That is a giver's attitude. I hope you are getting my point here. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am a giver.
I am a giver.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have been blessed.
I have been blessed.
I've become a blessing.
I have become a blessing.
Say it again. I have been blessed.
I have been blessed.
I have been made a blessing.
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 I want to emphasize, this is the main thing I came with today. Say it again. I have the power.
I have the grace.
I have the ability
to overcome my giants.
I can take my promised land.
I am not afraid.
I do not have the spirit of fear. Say it again. I don't have the spirit of fear.
I don't have the spirit of timidity.
I am bold as a lion.
I have the spirit of boldness.
I have the spirit of power.
I have the overcoming spirit.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid of poverty.
Because I know I am bigger than poverty.
That scripture we have been reading, I want us to quote it again.
Say, God will make all grace abound towards
me.
I will have all sufficiency in all things.
I will abound to every good work.
One more thing before we close. Remember last time we were talking about field. Each person has his own field. Each person has her own field. Your field is the place you cultivate so as to bring forth productivity. Nobody has a bed as a field. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
A little sleep and a little slumber. A little putting out the hand to do nothing. Your field is that place where you are blessing somebody. Your field is that place where you are transforming the environment, the society. You are causing increase. Your field is that place that when you go, the place is it becomes better than before you came. Your field is that place where other people can come and reap fruit from what you have labored for. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Your field is that thing that you do, that if you were to leave this earth today, people will say, wow, if that young man, if that woman was around, this would have been done. That is your field. If you notice, I didn't start with saying your field is the place where you go and collect. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. It's a place you cause to be productive. That is the place you cause to be productive. The place where you go in and you are able to help people to possess their own lands because you are giving them the instruments of war. That is your field. And everybody must have a field. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
But not every field is your field. Some fields belong to the Edomites. Do you know that? I read in my Bible. I realize I go to the children of Israel. That field belongs to the Edomites. Don't touch it. Said, this one belongs to the Ammonites. Don't touch it. Even amongst the people of Israel, there were fields that belonged to Judah. Some belongs to Reuben. Some belongs to Issachar. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some belong to Zebulun. Everybody had his own field. Within Judah, there were fields that belonged to Jesse and did not belong to him. You will be productive in your own field. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That's what it is. Therefore, you will know your own field.
Amen.
Do you get my point?
Yes,
God has already appointed your own heritage. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's declare the word of God again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have my own field.
I have my own field.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I know my own field.
I know my own field.
Somebody say, but I don't know it yet. Don't speak against God. Did I not warn you earlier? I will say it and you'll give me an amen. You know your own field.
Amen.
Thank you. That's how to respond to God. Don't wake up here and say, God, which one is my field? Say, Lord, I thank you. I am being led into my field. My field is my own. I know it. Say, which one is it? I know it. When you talk like that, it's called calling those things that be not as though they were. When I say be not, it doesn't mean they don't exist. It just means physically they are not palpable. But actually, we know they really exist. So we are calling them out of the realm of the invisible into the physical realm. Declare again, say,
in the name of Jesus.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have a sound mind.
I have power.
I have knowledge.
The Holy Spirit is inside me. Say, God is leading me for His own name's sake into the field that He appointed for me. Therefore, I know my field. I walk in my field. I'm enabled for my field. I have my special grace to cultivate my field. And I speak to my field. You will bear fruit. Every thorn, every stone, every obstruction, I crush you now in the name of Jesus. I speak to my land. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. I speak to my fruit. Multiply. That's the foundation for everything. As believers, this is what we have, the power to pray. What did I say? And very importantly, write prayers. If you notice, I have not said that every witch that said I will not succeed. Listen, every witch that doesn't want to succeed, confess. That is my own prayer for witches. Confess. All the witches in the neighborhood that don't like me, I want you to come and sit down in my presence so the Lord can prepare a table. That's what the Bible says. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I keep on saying this until everybody believes it. He didn't say when my enemies are dead. Some people say, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You will pray that this year your Uzziah will die. It's a date. Y'all go and buy a calendar. People come and quoting it as if there is a date. Isaiah was given a date. King Uzziah died. That same year, I saw the Lord. It's not as if now that King Uzziah was never an obstruction to the visions of his eye of Isaiah. Men were seeing visions when kings were alive. Listen, this is the word of God for your enemies. Say it after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
He prepares the table before me.
He prepares the table before
in the presence of my enemies.
In the
He has anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. Let's declare again. Numbers 23:23. There is no magic that can work against me.
There is no enchantment that has power against me.
Because I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow there refers to the influence. It's like a fowl gathers the chicks under her wings. That's that shadow. It's a covering of God. It also refers to, like, if you go and read it, it talks about many birds of the air, many animals coming under the shade of that big tree. And Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, see, many people have prospered under your influence. It's to be under the influence of God. I hope you get my point. Let me say to you again, in the name of Jesus, you are under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Listen, God has appointed your own heritage for you.
Amen.
Like telling somebody, don't look at somebody else. Why is this man's business doing well? Listen, he's doing his own business. That's not your business. I was reading my Bible. I found out that when I was reading that story of Edom and Ammon and all of that, I realized that God is not interested in blessing only one person. Even those who are not believers, they must eat. God doesn't want everybody queuing at your doorstep to beg for food. They must eat. So don't be envious or jealous of anybody. Understand it clearly. What is your own is coming to you. Blessings are commanded. Blessings have a name. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. Life everlasting. Blessings are commanded. Blessings have a name. Your blessing has your name on it. When you wake up every morning, listen, like one sister showed me once that Kenny Copeland taught, and I've been blessed by it since that day. He said, Kenny Copeland said, put pressure on the word of God. Don't put pressure on people. He said, as a preacher, that the Holy Spirit taught him that. Many pastors don't understand. They put pressure on the congregation. We have to build this building. Everybody give now. Go and clear your account. Go and clear. Sow a special seed. When they finish special seed. Now, after special seed, you are now going to say a release offering. If they bring a release offering. After release offering, say, okay, undo offering. All the things that have been done against me, undo offering. Some of them come recently, what they call, what's the offering now? Oh, no, firstborn was long ago. Oh, battle seed is old now. And they say atonement offering. It's not necessary. What did I say? It's not necessary. Your whole life is an offering, amen? As a believer, do good works continually. Kenneth Copeland said, instead of putting all those pressures on people, that the Lord taught him, put pressure on the word of God. When that sister shared with me that the kai, it blessed me. So occasionally, I said, word of God, let's pressure you small. You know that kind of thing. And what does it mean? You need money. Just start declaring it. Just start declaring it. You cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. Like it says in Psalm 34, even the young lions, they may hunger and suffer thirst, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. You keep on declaring that word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. My Father knows my need. He supplies all my needs. I refuse to worry. Instead of praying, say, God, supply, supply. Pray, God. This worry, I reject it, I reject it. Do you know you get more supplies faster if you fight worry better? Your supplies will come faster if you fight worries better. When you wake up in the morning and say, hey, what are you going to do? No, tomorrow is the deadline for the money. Say, Father God, I want to pray this morning. And the angels are waiting for you to say, for money. Say, Lord, I want to repent of worry. I want to repent of being anxious. I reject anxiety. I cast it down before you. Lord, I'm sorry for insulting you. According to David Pozen, it's libel when you worry. You know what is libel? To be defaming somebody, speaking evil of the person. That when a Christian worries, he's saying to the world, God cares about the birds of the air more than he cares about his children. Let's put pressure on the word of God. We'll close with it. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All my needs are supplied.
All my needs are supplied.
Put your hands in your pocket, please. All right. You don't have a pocket. Okay, take up your purse. Ladies, carry your bags. Carry your purses. No purse again. Oh, wow. Okay, just do your hand like this. As if you want to take something. Don't close it fully, but as if you want to take something. Uh-huh. You can hold your ATM card, all right? That will work. That will work. All right, say in the name of Jesus.
My Heavenly Father
is my supplier.
His name
is Jehovah Jireh,
the Lord that supplies.
His name
is the God
that makes grace flow towards me
so that I have all sufficiency in all things
and I abound to every good work.
Say, therefore,
I speak to this pocket,
to this account,
to this bag,
to these hands,
be full.
Receive the abundance of God.
Say, prosperity flows towards me.
And it comes like a river.
The wealth of the nations,
like an overflowing stream.
I will not lack,
because my God
shall supply
all my needs
according to his riches.
In glory.
In Christ Jesus.
He's not supplying the needs according to the need, though.
He's not supplying the need according to my certificate, though.
He's not supplying the need according to my salary, though.
He's not supplying the need according to what I think. He's supplying the need according to his own riches.
Say, therefore,
I have abundance.
I have abundance.
Abundance is my portion.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now, I'm going to ask you to do something once you get home, all right, when you leave here. The first person that needs something that asks you for it, do your best in meeting at least a part of the need. Don't let it come from your mouth, you know I don't have. Don't kill all these powerful words with, you know I don't have. Okay, what if I don't have anything physically there? Tell the fellow, say, I will see you later once I can produce something for you. Don't declare, you know I don't have. If you have, no matter how little, if it is 2 10 Nairas, give him one. It's a sign of faith. I've told my story before. When I was planning to get married, there was a time, we prepared my wedding. That time I needed money so much, God gave me wisdom. I was just sharing the word with my wife to be one day, and I read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right? He said that, instruct those who are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. Instruct them to trust in God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He said, instruct them to do good. All right? To be kind, to be generous, to be ready to share. And when he said it, I just understood something. The sign that you are trusting in God is kindness. The sign that you are trusting in God is that you share. The sign that you are trusting in God, and I realized that up to that point, every single couple I had had been going towards my wedding plans. Instantly, I said, Lord, I am sorry. One of my friends was wedding the same time. I dashed him something. I'm sure he was thinking that Banky has hit a jackpot. Yes, I hit a jackpot. I rejoice at thy word, like one who finds great treasure. I went to church. I greeted my pastor. God bless you, sir. That message was a blessing. I gave him an envelope. I became free. Okay, you want a Coke? You can have a Coke. I paid for it. Why? It was a sign that I was no longer trusting in myself. And God, it's not only money that God gives. God gave me a little bit of wisdom that solved a huge problem for me. I hope you're getting my point. That's what I give you as a sign of your faith. All right? And you go out today. Pay bus fare for somebody. Do something that shows that you are not poor. You understand that you are what? You are rich. Pay somebody you are owing. It's all part of it. Some people are afraid to pay their landlord. Because the landlord can wait. Meanwhile, you have the money. Give the man his money. Building a house is not a sin. That he has built it. Now, why do you want him to suffer? Father, we give you thanks for today. Lord, we worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Let's go home. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Bless somebody on your left and your right. And as you are going out,